So we'll just start with a song. Okay, we're gonna get started. Hi everyone, it's Meredith. Today we're gonna look at the pursuit of righteousness. So firstly, we're going to read from Proverbs 21:21. It's written by King Solomon, and he was the wisest man of his time back then. And this is what King Solomon has to say. He says in the New King James Version, "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor." And in the Amplified, it says it this way: "He who earnestly seeks after and craves righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness will find life in addition to, will find life in addition to righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God and honor. He who earnestly seeks after and craves righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness will find life in addition to righteousness," right? Addition, you'll get that as well. "Uprightness and right standing with God and honor." And we looked at honor, the word honor, the other day, and that was in the Church and the Money podcast. And honor represents value, worth, might, weight, currency of heaven, the new economy. Honor, it represents more than just honor of, you know, the false honor that we see around, you know, being nice to people. Honor is actually weighty. We can read it in the Passion Translation. I mean, you can really glean from every translation. I'm enjoying what we have available to us. You know, we are lucky. "The lovers of God who chase after righteousness will find all their dreams come true, an abundant life drenched with favor and a fountain that overflows with satisfaction." Look, you got to break this stuff down yourself, you know. Matthew 5:6. "Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. Now, Isaiah talked about the same thing. Isaiah, which is the Old Testament, okay, so it was written a long time before Christ came, but Isaiah is prophesying of the Messiah's coming. He's prophesying and talking about Jesus' coming. And why do you spend money for what is not bread? Isaiah says in Isaiah 55:2, New King James Version I'm reading from. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages, which is labor, for what does not satisfy? Why do you labor in what doesn't satisfy? He's saying, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The Amplified says it this way. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your earnings, meaning labor, for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in fatness, the profuseness of joy. Now, having a look, like breaking this down so we can have a look at what this all means, right? I mean, it's easy to have a Bible and read it, but what does it all mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. So, he's talking about eating. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Okay, Isaiah says, why do you spend money for what is not bread? And Christ is saying, blessed and fortunate and happy are those who are and spiritually prosperous are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what's righteousness? We already established that, didn't we, in the church and money? That it's God himself, Jesus. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is bread, right? He's the bread of life. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread? Isaiah says. Now, bread in the Hebrew is lechem, which is sustenance. It's sustenance. What does sustenance do? It's nourishment, food, nutrients, provision, rations, endurance, strength. Now, what does sustenance do to us? It revives us. It's reviving. That's what it says in the Hebrew. It's revival. Bread is revival. The Hebrew for sustenance is makaya, from the Hebrew word koya, which I read yesterday, which was the living, right? I was talking about the living, to be alive. I said the same. It was the same word. It comes from the same word, kayo, kaya or kayo, and it's preservation of life and sustenance, maintenance, preserves life. This kaya preserves life. It's quick and raw, and it recovers ourselves. It recovers selves. The quick preserve life, okay? That's what the bread does. It gives sustenance and it gives revival. Now, and it gives living. It gives life, preserved life, right? What's a preserved life? A life that doesn't die, isn't it? Preserve, when we preserve something, it lasts forever, doesn't it? Okay? So when you eat this bread, it gives you sustenance, it gives you strength, and it gives you the endurance to go for to live forever. It revives you. It brings revival. Eat is akal in the Hebrew, or okal, and that means consume, lived off, enjoy, and it means meat, devour, to feed, and flesh destroyed. It actually means be wasted. Be wasted. It means in the Hebrew. Perfectly consumed. So satisfy, sobor in the Hebrew, it means abundant, glutted, right? Glutted, sufficient, and satisfied. What's that mean? It means to have enough. And what do they call Jesus? He's a glutton. He's nothing but a glutton. All he does is drink and eat, right? He does. That's all he does. He's a glutton. He's satisfied on the Father because he gets his fresh bread from heaven every day, right? But Jesus came as the bread, so we have him here. He's the Word made flesh. Here he is. The soul is yourself, the mind, the emotion, the passion, the... So passion, desire, will, that's the soul. The soul, right? So he says, Isaiah says, and your wages, and he says, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So he's saying, let your soul, yourself, your mind, your will, your emotions delight itself. Delight. Let's look at delight. Kafets or kafets. It means desire. Desire the Lord, it means. Desire the Lord. Pleasure, purpose, acceptable. Okay, so delight, delight. He says, feed your... He says, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Now, labor, we want to look at the word labor for a minute. Because when we look at the word labor and it says in their wages. So Isaiah, he's saying, and your wages for what does not satisfy. So he's, why do you spend your money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. So your labor, why are you laboring in what doesn't satisfy? And labor in the Hebrew is yagia, and it's toiling and working and weariness. Things do not give pleasure. It's with things that do not give the pleasure you get by desiring the Lord. It's the opposite of what you get when you find your desire in the Lord. It's working away from the Lord, right? Now, labor... Also, in the Hebrew, it means to press in and hasten, right? Hasten, to press in, press in. But in Proverbs 21, if we look at 21:5, in Proverbs, which I'll look in the New King James Version because I should have had that here, so sorry about that. But 21:5, and it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty, right? Surely to poverty. And he says, so, yeah, the plans of the diligent. So the diligent is eager. Those who are eager for the Lord, they lead surely to plenty. So you're going to have plenty. You're going to have more than enough. But those of everyone who is hasty, which is pressing in and laboring, surely lead to poverty. So there's no wealth, there's no oil, there's no abundance, there's no desire in the Lord. It's going away from the Lord. It's going in the opposite direction. Now he's saying exactly, and it's exactly what Isaiah was saying in 55:12, and he says, "Hearken," which is orzan, hearken. The Hebrew, orzan, listen, pay attention, to heed, give heed, let it be perceived to, lead to the perfect, which is in use in the word, in Deuteronomy, which is the law. That same word, hearken, right? It means perfect. Again, it's the perfection. Hearken, he says. Hearken diligently, core roots it is in Hebrew, diligently, which means determined, eager. Fine gold, a trench dug. Okay, that's what diligently means in the Hebrew. So it's you're digging, right? You're digging with eagerness. You hearken, you're giving heed to the eagerness to dig, to find the treasure which is within. He says the kingdom of heaven is within. Hearken diligently to me, he says, and eat what is good. 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 Yes, sorry. Hearken diligent to me. And eat what is good. And good in the Hebrew is tobay, which means joy, glad, pleasure, wealth, and prosperity. And let your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, delight. Find purpose and desire in fatness and abundance. The Hebrew is dashen, meaning oil and spiritual blessing. Oil and spiritual blessing. He's saying, hearken to me diligently and eat what is good. And you will find the joy. The good is the joy. Eat the joy. Eat the gladness. Eat the pleasure. Eat the wealth and the prosperity. And you will find in that delight, which is purpose. You will find your purpose, which will give you spiritual blessing. That's what he is saying in Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Eat the bread. Feed your soul the bread. And find purpose and spiritual blessing. Now, this breaking bread, we're all to be in one accord, breaking bread. It says in Acts 2:46, which I'll read. Acts 2:46. So continuing with one accord, okay, Acts 2 is what? The coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Pentecost. And this is, he's telling us how to get Pentecost, how to get, what are they calling up for, revival? This is how you get revived. You eat the bread and you break bread with friends. This is how you get revival. No other way. He's saying, why do you go and work and do laboring the other way? There's no need for stadiums and concerts and, you know, worship that goes around the world like, you know, like the world perform. It's no, this is not how revival comes. That's counterfeit. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this is how you get revival, that the bread is the living, it is the revival, and it revives us. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, what did we say house was the other day, is our temple, right? From house to house, from one to the other, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now this bread, it strengthens us, it says. Okay, the Jews wanted to break Jesus' legs. Legs represent strength and power and to stand and fight. Okay, legs, without our legs, we can't stand. It's the enemy trying to rob us of our strength and our power. Okay, but we get that power and that strength from within anyway. But as a prophetic sign, Jesus' legs were not broken, but the Jews wanted them broken. The Jews wanted them broken to signify that what he was doing was powerless. What he was doing had no strength. What he was doing on that cross didn't stand for anything. They wanted to take that away, but they couldn't. They didn't, and it wasn't possible because the soldiers went and broke the other guy's legs, and then he came to Jesus, and Jesus was already dead, and so they didn't break his legs. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he says in John 6:3-5, right? I am the bread of life. Bread of life. And the bread strengthens us. So the Pharisees were trying to take the strength out of the bread. They're trying to take the power out of the bread. What's the bread? The word. I am the word. He says in John, he says in, you know, Genesis, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the beginning was the Word. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is the bread of life, the Word. He came in he actually took a body. This is the creativeness of the God that we have, right? But these Pharisees, these religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders in that day, which are nothing different to our religious leaders, the fake, false religious leaders in Christianity today, are removing the power out of the bread, which is Jesus. They take the power out of the bread and the word and the bread of life. So the word is being removed. There's no power in it, and there's no transforming strength in the bread that they're breaking, because they're not breaking the bread at all. They're not doing it. They're trying to remove it purposely. This is Satan deceiving them, and he knows exactly how to keep people oppressed by taking the power out of the Bible, taking, which is the word, removing the power from it. The Pharisee, the religious leaders, they broke the body of Christ. These religious leaders, the Pharisees, broke the body of Christ due to their unbelief in him. That's how they broke the body because they had no belief in him. They broke the body of Christ due to their unbelief in him. But the thief on the cross next to him, he believed and he received eternal life. The thief, the sinner, the criminal, the one who didn't deserve it, the one who didn't know, he was the one who believed and received. And these Pharisees, even though they weren't the ones that actually broke the body, they ordered it. Okay, so they're responsible for breaking the body of Christ due to their unbelief. They used the Romans as the ones to do it, as a cover, right? But it was them who did it. They're the ones that told them. They're the ones that spoke it and spoke it out. But it's the Romans, even the Romans weren't the ones that did it. I mean, Nicodemus even, he knew that Jesus was God, right? The soldier who pierced the side, he tasted, felt, and knew immediately that Jesus was God. He pierced the side of Jesus on the cross and the blood and the water poured out all over him and he knew immediately that he was God, right? But these religious Jewish Pharisee leaders in Christianity are covering it and making out as if the one that are breaking the body is the Romans. But no, the orders came from these religious leaders. The words are coming from the religious leaders. And it broke the body of Christ due to their unbelief. So, in closing, the pursuit of righteousness is simple. He is the sustenance, the word that when broken brings nutrients that produce true revival. The Lechem. He tells us where revival comes from him, not pressing in. In fact, pressing in leads to poverty. And breaking open the bread leads to satisfaction, sustenance, the eternal living preserved life that quickens us to recover our soul. According to the wisdom literature, we can see that pressing in leads to poverty. In Acts 27:36-38, it says, Paul fed, I'm reading this one from the Passion Translation, in Acts 27:36-38, it says, Paul fed 276 people with the bread, and they all ate it, and they were filled, and were strengthened and encouraged. Afterward, they threw grain, which is sitos, edible wheat, which is bread in seed form, into the sea. Sea is thalassa, which means the world. And it comes from the root word hals, which means salt or to be salted. So into the sea to lighten the ship. Lighten in the Greek is kephizo, and it means to be light. Also light in weight and to lighten the load of the world. The ship to lighten the ship. The ship in Hebrew is ploion, right? And ploion actually means a vessel. Ship also means master. So to be a vessel for the master and light and sea salt to the world. So we are breaking bread. And we are being filled. We're being strengthened and encouraged by breaking open the word and getting the true meaning of it. And then with that, we feed that out into the world in seed form. We throw it out into the world to be light and salt as a vessel for our master to the world. So thanks for listening. I love you guys. God bless you and have an awesome day. I'm gonna go get some more.